We are slowly coming to the end of Acts. We've got two more sermons left in it. So today we're looking at Acts 28, 23, and verses 23 and 24. After a big storm and shipwreck, Paul and other people on the ship ended up on the island called Malta. The locals were very kind people, and they made a fire for them because it was raining and it was cold. Paul was putting some sticks on the fire and got bit by a snake. The people expected him to swell up and fall dead, but when nothing happened to him, they changed their mind and decided he was a god. In the same area where they had shipwrecked, there was a very important man named Publius, who welcomed Paul and his companions and took care of them for 3 days. Publius's father was sick with a fever and dysentery. Paul went to see him and prayed, laid hands on him, and healed him. After this happened, other sick people on the island came to Paul and were healed also. After 3 months on the island, they set sail on a ship that had spent the winter at Malta. They stopped at a few places and arrived in Rome. And Paul was allowed to live by himself with just one soldier guarding him. When Paul got to Rome, he called the Jewish leaders together and he told them about his arrest in Jerusalem and his trial in front of the Roman authorities. He said he hadn't done anything against the Jewish people or their customs. He explained that he was only tied up because of the hope of Israel. Paul also made it clear that he wasn't trying to accuse his own people of anything. The leaders told Paul that they hadn't received any letters about him from Judea, and none of the other Jews who came had said anything bad about him. But they wanted to hear his ideas because they knew that people everywhere were talking about this group that Paul was part of. This group that we know as the early Christians. So they set a day to meet with Paul, and the people came to the place where he was staying. He talked to them from morning until evening about God's kingdom and using the law of Moses and the writings of the prophets to persuade them about Jesus. Some people believed what Paul said, but others didn't. So listen as I read these two verses in Acts 28, verses 23 and 24. They arranged to meet Paul on a certain day and came in even larger numbers to the place where he was staying. He witnessed to them from morning till evening, explaining about the kingdom of God and the law of Moses and from the prophets. He tried to persuade them about Jesus. Some were convinced by what he said, but others would not believe. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So think about this. Paul is a prisoner, but instead of acting like a victim, he acts like a victor. He's armed with the promise of God. He's not shackled by his chains, but rather his spirit is liberated, animated by a message burning within him. He presents the story of Jesus with such clarity and passion that it elicits a profound divide among his listeners. Some are persuaded by his words, their hearts softened, their eyes open to the truth of the Messiah. Others, however, are not convinced. This is what we encounter every day, y'all. Like Paul, we are called to testify to the truth, to speak of the love and the salvation found in Jesus. We gather the world around us, from dawn to dusk if necessary, to lay out the evidence of our faith, the law and the prophets culminating in the life and death and resurrection of Christ. Yet what we must grasp is that the success of Paul's ministry, and indeed even our own, is not measured by the unanimous agreement of the audience. Instead, it's found in the faithfulness of delivering the message. The power lies in the proclamation, not in the reception. We encounter hearts that are receptive, and we also encounter those who seem impenetrable. The responses that Paul recede from when he would spread the gospel, were as diverse as the people in the room. Some leaned in, their hearts open, they were eager to learn more, and others crossed their arms, their brows furrowed, resistant to the words of life that Paul offered. And this is what we encounter when we share our faith. Think about when you tell someone about how much Jesus means to you. Some folks may listen and nod and show real interest. They may ask questions. They may try to understand. Or they may express a desire to experience Jesus for themselves. Others may look at you like you've got two heads. They may dismiss you, argue with you, or just walk away. What we learn from Paul is that our job is not to force the seed to grow, but to faithfully plant it. Paul didn't control the outcomes. He couldn't make people believe. What he did do was lay everything out for them from the scriptures. He painted the picture of Jesus' life and what it meant. Paul's role was to share the truth with love and let God do the rest. This is so encouraging to anyone that tries to share the gospel with people. Our responsibilities as followers of Christ is not to change hearts. In fact, we can't change hearts. That's something only God can do. Our role is to share, to live out the love we've received, and to trust God with the results. Loved ones, we are messengers, not the message itself. The pressure is off us to convert anyone. That's in God's hands. Our part is to tell our story, to show God's love through our actions, and to offer the message of the gospel when we have the opportunity. I don't know about y'all, but there are times I get discouraged because people don't respond the way I hope when I share about Jesus. But then I remember Paul. He faced the same thing. Some were persuaded by what he said, but others just wouldn't believe. Paul didn't let that stop him, and neither should we. As we carry on, let's take a closer look at what it means to be a witness for Christ, trusting in God's ability to work in our heart, work in the hearts of those we're called to reach. Let's think about how we might be faithful to the call to share even when the soil seems rocky, trusting that some seed will indeed find good soil and flourish. A witness simply tells what they have seen and heard, nothing more. It's like when you're watching a football game and you can't wait to tell your friends about that amazing last-minute touchdown. You're not making it up. You're just sharing what made an impact on you. Being a witness for Jesus is similar. We share our personal experiences about how he's touched our lives and the hope he offers to everyone. This isn't about having fancy words or deep theological knowledge. It's about telling your own story, your struggles, and how Jesus has been with you through them all. Sometimes when we share our faith, we face hard soil, people who are not ready or willing to listen. And this is tough. And yes, it hurts, but Paul didn't let hard hearts stop him. He knew something that we should remember. God is at work before we ever show up. And he continues to work long after we leave. Our part, like Paul's, is to remain faithful in sharing, not to take charge of how people respond. Think about rain. It falls on the earth, not knowing where it's going to be absorbed or where it will run off. It does its job watering the ground, and then it's up to the soil to do the rest. That describes us sharing our love of Jesus. We don't know where it will take root, but we trust that God gives growth. We need to be faithful rain, watering where we can, loving people, serving them, speaking truth, and leaving the rest to God. Because in the end, some seed will fall on good soil, someone's heart will be ready and they will understand and accept the message of hope we share. Before we continue, think about the times you've shared your faith and the different reactions you've encountered. Hold on to the fact that success in God's kingdom isn't about how many people say yes. It's about whether we are faithful to share. And with each act of faithfulness, we're sowing seeds that in time, God can make bloom beautifully. Our role is to be faithful witnesses. Being a witness isn't just about speaking, it's about living. Our actions often do speak louder than our words. When people see us living out our faith through acts of kindness, patience, and love, and especially when we're doing that in tough situations, it speaks volumes. Think about how Paul lived. Even as a prisoner, he showed kindness and healed the sick. His life was his testimony as much as his words were. We are called to live in such a way that people can't help but notice there's something different about us. And sometimes it's those unspoken messages that prepare the soil of someone's heart for the seeds we are sowing. Living as a witness is as simple as being a good neighbor. It's helping out when someone's in need. It's about being honest in all our dealings. It's about showing forgiveness even when it's hard. These everyday acts of faithfulness are powerful demonstrations of God's love. And let's not forget prayer. Praying for others is one of the most powerful ways we can witness. It's taking the concerns of our hearts and the needs of others before God, trusting Him to act. Prayer may not always change the situation, but often it changes us. It can soften the hearts of those we're praying for. It can soften our heart. How do we keep going, though, especially when we're discouraged? We look to Jesus. He is our ultimate example of faithfulness. He lived, taught, healed, and ultimately gave His life, not knowing who would accept His message. He just faithfully did the Father's will. We are called to follow in His footsteps, to love like He loved, serve like He served, and speak the truth like He did. When rejection comes, and it will, and it does, we remember that Jesus faced it too. But when someone's heart is changed, we rejoice knowing it's God at work. Who are the people in your life that might be tough soil? How can you live out your testimony before them? How can you show them Jesus' love through your actions this week? Remember, each small act of love plants a seed that God can grow into something beautiful. Being a faithful witness for Christ doesn't require us to be perfect or have all the answers. It just asks us to be genuine, to live out our faith with honesty and love, and to share our stories of how Jesus changed our lives. That's what Paul did. Despite being shipwrecked, bitten by a snake, and imprisoned, he kept telling his story. He knew the power of a life changed by Jesus. Our faith journey is like a light. Even the smallest candle can pierce the deepest darkness, and each one of us carries this light. The light of Jesus, the good news of Jesus, and wherever we go, we have the chance to shine brightly, to be beacons of hope and love. It doesn't have to be a grand gesture. It's the small moments of grace and compassion that often make the biggest difference. Let's not let the storms discourage us. Instead, let's commit to planting seeds through our words and our actions, nurturing them with love and leaving the growth to God. Because in the end, God is the gardener of the heart. And He knows how to bring forth beauty from the hardest places. So go out this week. Be a witness. Be the light of Christ. Let your life be a living testament to the love and grace of Jesus, and be encouraged knowing that in God's garden, every act of love is not wasted. It is all part of the master plan He has for this world. And how amazing is it that it's a plan that we are invited to be a part of? Bow your heads with me, please. Heavenly Father, even on the darkest nights, help us be light. Help us shine the light of Christ to others, knowing that in our darkest moments, it's only the light of Christ that got us through. Father, I ask your blessings on everyone hearing this message. Many have faced discouragement in trying to be the witness you call them to be. Father, just strengthen them. Help them realize the acceptance of the gospel is not on them. Help them realize that others can't hear if we don't speak. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.